Welcome to the Hot Ticket Podcast. This is episode 167. On this episode, we break down the Plasencia Almafuerte, and we also talk about the new embargo from Cuba, the restriction on bringing cigars back, if you're an American citizen, back to the United States. Got a lot to talk about, so let's get into it.
I am struggling a bit. I've been feeling really overwhelmed when I walk into the humidor. There's just too many cigars to choose from, and I never know what to pick. I'll get the hot flashes. My IBS begins to act up from all the pressure of it. It'd be really nice if someone could just choose for me.
Well, have you ever heard of My Cigar Pack?
What in the dickens is My Cigar Pack?
Well, I'll tell you. My Cigar Pack is a premium cigar club designed to cater unique packs to your door through an innovative platform that takes all the guesswork out of choosing those perfect cigars.
Right you are, Corey. They send you 5 individual premium cigars, a reusable pouch with a Beveda pack, and an add-on item that complements your experience.
You can choose from 3 different options, a mild medium pack, or a medium full pack, and My Cigar Pack works hand-in-hand with real cigar experts and manufacturers to design each monthly combination.
Yeah, and you can choose between their monthly subscription pack for $39.99 or a one-time purchase for $49.99, and shipping is always complimentary.
Visit MyCigarPack.com today to sign up now. New customers will receive $10 off their first order. That's up to a 25% savings off your first pack. Type in promo code HOT10 at checkout to receive your $10 off. Again, visit MyCigarPack.com and enter promo code HOT10 at checkout to receive $10 off your first purchase. Get it, dongers.
System overloads, but I'm recording, so anywho, I did want to share something with you, because yeah, I always forget that there's the share feature, and this has nothing to do with cigars, by the way. I just thought it was so fucking crazy and interesting. So I follow this Instagram page, but I always go to this place for like news articles called All Things Interesting or All That's Interesting.
Yeah.
And dude, look at this shit. Oh, you disabled share screening for or share screen for me.
And oh, no.
You got to enable it, because you got to see this thing. Dude, it's fucked.
Multiple participants can share simultaneously. Okay.
It's so fucked up. Hang tight. Oh, why is it? Hold on. Let's
can
see.
I just do a reaction like on the screen? Yeah, I can. Crap, 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 crap. Crap, crap.
Desktop one, desktop two. Desktop one, desktop two. Okay. It's probably, I hope it doesn't. Dude, this is, dude, Zoom's so weird. Stupid web version. Oh, no, I can't do it. Never mind. Oh, shit. Because it won't let me change preferences. Fuck. Okay, never mind. It's all good. I'll show you later. It's actually really not pertinent to like what we're talking about. But anyway, it's basically a blood clot that came out of this dude's lungs.
Ugh.
And it's in the shape of the pathways, of the oxygen pathways in his lungs.
Ugh.
And it like comes out and it's like that big. And it's just a big fucking thing of blood. It's intense. So fucking crazy looking. I was like, oh, I saw it earlier. And I was like, whoa. You know how I am with blood. And then I realized that it was like all the pathways in his lungs. And he just like basically like coughed it up. And it was like removed from his fucking throat.
Came out like something that was in a jello mold.
That's what it looks like. It looks like a mold. It looks like someone like reconstructed what the inside of those airways look like in your lungs and just did it with like a dye and like some like jello, like yeah. The actual like fucking rubber molds. That's what it looks like, but it's an actual blood clot. Yeah. How do you not die? I don't know. It's fucking crazy. You should be dead. Anywho. So cool. 167. Here we are. Pretty stoked about it. What are you drinking? Diet Coke?
Sure am.
That's weird. That's a weird thing to drink right now. I'm got my bourbon as always.
It's surprisingly good with this cigar.
And Diet Coke is?
Yeah.
To each their own. You can tell Can you tell when it's getting like super bright? My window shade is closed, by the way, but there's like times where it gets like super bright and it's just like.
Yeah, you're very ghosty.
Yeah, it'll go away in a minute. But anywho, there's a lot that went on. So we've been for like, I don't know, a month now recording every episode going like, Mil Diaz is coming, right? Because again, the whole intentionality, I'm going to like beat this dead horse, is that we're reviewing cigars that are new to the marketplace. So when something comes out, we're doing our damnedest to try to get it out in review form as quickly as possible. The Mil Diaz was featured on a recent podcast. I don't know how many episodes ago. Enough. 162. Four. Yeah. So a while ago, a literal month ago, and we've kept up and said, okay, it's coming. Well, it's not coming anymore. It's here. So it's finally been released. So the Mil Diaz is out in retailers, in brick and mortars. I don't know if you can purchase them online yet. I suppose you could from some places, but it's out there. So in tandem with its release, check out our episode of Mil Diaz, because I think we're probably the first to review it. I think we've got to be the first to have it out there. So it is out there. You can check it on our website. You can check it out on podcast episode 160 something, but dude, it's out there.
We're like Diddy that like found Kanye, and before anybody else knew who Kanye was, we're like, oh man, he's the next biggest thing, man. We got to get to him first. Yeah. And that's what it's like, man. Like Hot Ticket is to Diddy as Mil Diaz is designing Kanye West to Diddy's record label.
Yeah, we're the Diddies.
We're the Diddies.
We're the Diddies of the Kanyes.
With the Lil Mil, which is fitting because it sounds appropriate. It's very rapper oriented. No pun intended.
Lil Mil. Lil Mil. Why? How does a rapper not have the name Lil Mil? Or Lil Diaz?
Lil Diaz, yeah.
There's got to be some Spanish kid out there that's rapping named Lil Diaz.
Oh, has to be.
It's got to be a thing.
He's probably 4'9" and he's 21 years old. And it's like, oh, you're like a little baby. He's like, man, I'm a fucking grown ass man, man.
Oh, they call me Lil Diaz. I don't even know how to do a Spanish accent now that I think about it. I think I struggle with most accents. I'm not a good impersonator. I'm not a good impressionist either. Like I can't do the accents real well. There's a couple that I can do, but they're still pretty bland. Like every once in a while, because I listen to people from Boston all the time, I can do a decent Boston accent.
Like, let's break down being an impressionist for a second.
Yeah, like Frank Caliendo.
That it takes a weird ass person.
Yeah.
To get in their mirror and over look at their face and try to sound like someone they just heard.
Well, there's the sound component of it, and then there's oftentimes the visual component of it. Like when people do De Niro, they right. do the...
Yeah, the... Like the frowning. Like,
people do that all the time, and then they can nail his accent. Like Frank Caliendo is so fucking funny as far as an impressionist. He's so goddamn good at it. And he can do literally anybody. But what I think is strange is like there's people who can do it and there's people who can't do it. But to find out that you have the talent to do it means that you've had to do, like at some point in your younger life, you heard somebody say something and then you just went and then you started talking and you did it, right? And then you go, oh shit, I realize that I can do that. I wonder if I can do it with this person and this person and this person. Right. And then you practice to get better. But that's a natural talent. Like being able to do that, I think you have to have an ear for it. And then you have to be able to translate that into the vocal piece of it, which not everybody can do.
Yeah.
Like I don't think it's something that you could learn. It's like people who are naturally good singers. Like I'm never going to be a good singer no matter how much I try. I'm never going to be on American Idol or any one of those shows. Right. Because I just don't have that inherent talent.
Like, let's listen to Pacino. Will be given on a need to know basis. You know? Hoo-ah! When Johnny was first starting.
Wait, what do you listen to? Is that,
Al Pacino.
Yeah. Career got better and better. He wanted to get out of it. Now, Johnny is my father's godson.
Because if I have to go to outside agencies, we got no way to hear my outside agency. Well, where am I going to go? You hear me, sir? Stay away from me. Where am I going to go?
That's the Pacino I like.
Yeah, he knows, I like it.
Well, I can't even do it. It sounds like such a crazy, like, smoker.
Yeah, isn't it ridiculous how old Pacino is now, too, and still doing it?
Yeah, I can't even do it. Like, so gargly.
Dude is old as fuck, and he is just still at, I mean, you can tell he's slowing down a lot. I mean, like, he does not move quick. I saw him in, like, a cop movie that I think was filmed back in, like, 2015, and I forget who the other co-star was. It was another cop, and it was a guy who was younger, and they were both detectives, and Pacino just looks slow. He just looks worn down. He just looks like an old dog with hip dysplasia. Like, he just doesn't move.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bless him. Great actor, though.
Be a great thing to learn, you know, if you wanted to, like, I don't know.
Oh, the impressionist thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some people who are so fucking good at it. Like, you listen to them, you're like,
a club?
I think the best impressionists are the ones that do voices that aren't so obvious. Like, the Christopher Walken is an impressionist of himself. That's not his real way of talking. I don't know if you know that, but you can look that up. It's not his real way of talking. He did that because it made him unique.
Oh my God. Did you see the article and interview that came out about Paris Hilton?
No, she's a slut. Surprise.
She came out in an interview that's a documentary, and it's talking about how for her entire life as a Hilton, she's played the dumb blonde.
And she's a genius.
And she talked. Let's just say she doesn't sound like she sounds like we've seen her.
Yeah, like with vocal fry.
She talks very, like, well-spoken and not high-pitched and, like, dumb, aloof.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Blonde. It's very weird to hear her talk like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I almost thought, too, it's like, yeah, she's the ditzy blonde, right? That's what she's been categorized as a long time. But really what that is even if she is, it's a play on entertainment. She obviously one of the richest families being the Hilton family. But so she was going to come into money anyway, but she did her own thing in entertainment and made millions of dollars doing it. No problem. But you have to keep a certain persona up to do that, right? Like, what's good for entertainment? If you're Paris Hilton, is it good for entertainment for you to be the smart, articulate girl, or is it good for entertainment for you to be the young, dumb blonde?
She was like, I don't think you understand. Like, people thought I just fell into money, and they don't realize I traveled the world in meetings.
Yeah.
250 days plus a year. And I just want my family to understand and appreciate that I am a good, smart, intelligent businesswoman.
Did it say at all what she does now? Like, what does she do? What does Paris Hilton do? She's not on a reality show anymore, so what's...
I don't know.
I wonder if she's, like, in the family business. I wonder if she's done anything with Hilton
properties. I hated the fact that I had to pretend to play a dumb blonde. And it's like, then why did you?
Yeah, well, her partner in crime, that Nicole Richie girl, is not dumb either. She's really smart.
Yeah.
Like, she's actually pretty fucking intelligent and well-spoken. It's like,
maybe that's what I just got to keep doing.
Just play the dummy?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't articulate so well.
Like, when you talk about, like, a cigar wrapper, do you mean, like, the plastic around it?
Yeah, you could do that.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people probably do think that. So
they say there's all these different colored wrappers on cigars, but it never made sense because clear isn't a color.
Yeah, that's true. You could definitely keep playing that part for sure. It's very fitting.
Yeah.
So last episode, weirdly enough, obviously we did the, and for anybody listening, if you haven't listened to it yet, It's very rare that I talk about other episodes that we do on the podcast, other than maybe like the overrated, underrateds are super popular. But in terms of the last one we did, we just decided to like audible and said like, hey, we want to do some things that are different. We're talking about things that we know are relevant in the industry that we don't really have. We haven't really talked about in a formatted degree on the podcast. So we decided to do it. And it was just five things that we hated about the cigar industry. And of course, it was hashtag cancel this. And dude, the episode was so fucking popular. I was shocked. I was getting so many messages and I was like, holy shit. Like all kinds of people either agreeing or saying like, what about this? Have you thought about this? And certain things that were like, hey, you know, we're not limiting it to just five. We just did it for that episode, but there's so much to talk about. And it just ended up being a really, really popular episode for us. And I thought it was, you know, I thought it was good. I thought it was one that I, you know, I enjoyed recording it. And I enjoyed having that discussion. It was a little bit more serious than what we usually do. It wasn't as jovial, but it was super well received. So thanks for everybody who's listened to that episode. And if you haven't listened to it yet, according to the rest of the audience out there, it's pretty dope. So
that sounds so intriguing because you said you did an Audible. What's the name of it? Because I signed up for Audible this month and I get one free credit every month and it's like $14.99. And because like I've got so much money, that's like nothing. But I need to know what the title of this is that you, on from the Audible episode that you listened to. Like, what's the name of it? Because I want to listen to it.
Right. No. Speaking of, I think Amazon Audible is a ripoff. I'm just coming out and saying
it. It kind of is.
$15 a month for me to listen to a book? Do I own it after that?
Yeah.
Like, do I have it forever?
Yeah.
I guess that's not as bad. But who the fuck reads a book twice? I'm sorry. If you're listening to this and you read a book twice, you're a fucking twat.
Well, the thing is, I don't read. You know, so like... If it's anything that has like a very robust vocabulary, like I don't understand the words they're using. So you need like that's why I like Audibly because it's like it's spoken, you know?
Right.
It's like someone's talking to me, but I can't talk back to them, but they're telling me a story. And I like that's what I like about it the most. It's like telling me a story. And so, yeah, send me a link. Like I'm on Instagram and like Cameo. Just send me like
is Cameo a thing still?
I think so.
Is TikTok gone?
It was shut. It's been blocked.
Like officially?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You can no longer get updates for the app.
Right, right. If you're if you're a current user, you can't get updates for the app, and if you're not a current user, you can't download it. Yeah. Does it ever drive you nuts when people say, "Oh, I just read this really good book," and then you found out they just listened to the whole thing? I don't know why that irks me a lot, but I hate people that pretend that they actually sat down and read a book and didn't just listen to a book on tape while they were driving to work.
Yeah, because there's a distinction. For sure.
Yeah. I've never had a problem saying I've listened to that book on tape or I've listened to it on a CD or I listened to it on a, you know, my iPhone. I've never had an issue doing that, but I don't like the fact that because reading, if you say that you read a lot of books, it's almost like an amplification of your intelligence. And I don't think there's as many people out there that read books as say they quote unquote read books. They listen to audio tapes. Or they listen to a book on tape either via Audible or another app that they've downloaded, right? But I think there's not a lot of people who really sit down and read books anymore.
Can I do a plug real quick?
Sure.
My sex tape that you would normally see on Pornhub, you can watch it or you can listen to it. This week on Audible, you can hear my entire sex tape.
So we can hear you gag on that fucking hog?
Yeah,
I remember that from her the sex tape that she did that was released. I don't know if she did it or if it was meant to be released, if it was intentional or not intentional, but I just remember gagging on some dude's hog.
The thing is like I have a hard time seeing the rationale and pretending to be someone you're not for 15 to 20 years and then come out and say, well, that wasn't the real me. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but don't you think there's some part of it that is just innate maturity, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, she was super young then. You know what I mean? Like, that's never going to be bred out of the Kardashians, because the Kardashians have made their living doing that shit, right? They've made a living. They've made a living being fucking stupid. But they've made a living being smart stupid. Because if you think about it, you could argue that they're pretty much geniuses.
I just don't understand how they're more popular than me. Because Kim Kardashian did a sex tape. Yeah. And she became a million overnight.
She also swallowed a giant hog. So
I sent dick pics, and the only people that saw it were my high school.
And a couple of your fucking fanboys on Instagram. That you send countless amounts of heart emojis to.
Yeah. Now, it was probably ill-advised at the turning point of a smartphone. Well, it wasn't even smartphones yet. It was a flip phone.
Yeah, flip phones.
To send a dick pic with my face in it.
Yeah.
The people that disseminated it, not a play on words, to all of their friends, and then have random strangers come up to me like,
I saw your dick. Hey, guess what? Your dick's out there.
And I remember like 6 years later, we had a show. And a random girl came up to me and she's like, "You're Chris, right?" I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "I've seen your dick." I was like,
Which the appropriate response would have been, "What'd you think?"
No, I should have.
Yeah, you should have not act surprised, and you should be like, "So what'd you think about it?"
I should have been like, "Yeah, cool. So what are you doing after the show?"
Yeah. Is it something you're willing to work with?
Yeah.
Dude, isn't it weird how like dick pics will never go away? Now there's going to be like virtual reality or AI, like there's going to be like augmented reality dick pics. Like you'll be able to like, and not even like take a video, but like you'll be able to incorporate so much more of like, instead of just this like one-to-one visual representation, I take a pic, I send it to you, you may reciprocate. There's going to be like a whole nother fucking thing around it.
If I sent you like an augmented reality key and you like set it down on the table and put your phone over it, and I was like, I did a 3D scan of my dick doing the worm, and it's just my dick doing this on the table.
That's what I mean. You can't tell me that shit's not going to exist soon. Like a dick pic's going to be like a 3D hologram. You just open it up and you just see the whole fucking thing.
I should get a mold of my dick. And have a like a dildo made of it.
Do it.
I should.
You'll be at the clearance section in Hustler.
But like super cold.
It's gonna be like yours is just gonna be advertised as like average flaccid white dick dildo.
I want it to look like one of those stress balls, but it's like all balls. And it's just like one little thing coming out of it, which is my dick. Like it's almost like there's a weak point in the stress ball.
That would be funny.
Look like that.
That would be funny. I think that would be hysterical, actually. We need to talk about this shit. So Donald Trump made a decision to enact an embargo again, which would completely restrict anybody from bringing Cuban cigars back from Cuba. It's actually technically Cuban cigars and rum. So that is now back in a place. If you remember back to the Obama administration, he had loosened up those restrictions over a period of time. And then also to the point where you could travel back to Cuba, you could bring back, I think it was 100 Cuban cigars that didn't exceed $800 in value, which I don't know how they would know that. Like how do you do that calculation when you come back? And then also, you know, not only allowed travel, but allowed you to bring back goods from Cuba. That is gone, like officially gone. So I guess part of me, and I think that's been relatively unclarified at this point, is that you can still get Cuban cigars. Like I haven't gone to Cuba and brought back Cuban cigars. However, there are still ways to access Cuban cigars through different website platforms that ship from the UK overseas, right? And then you can get them shipped into the US. They're pretty common. It's pretty popular.
Yeah.
One of the things that I read as a part of this embargo was that they were going to limit access or completely restrict access from those areas as well. So I'm kind of wondering, from some of the sites that I've been accustomed to buying Cuban cigars off of, Like, are those going to be shut down going to the U.S.? Can you still ship? There seems to be a lack of clarity on that. But what do you think about in terms of the embargo as a whole? It's not a good thing, but I also heard an argument. I was watching a small clip of a video from Bovada, the one dude who does their podcasting there, Rob, who I've interacted with from time to time, was talking to the owner of Aleva, and they talked about, I don't want to say it's controversial, but it kind of is, where they kind of looked at it and said, okay, the original embargo wasn't a bad thing for a couple reasons. It started to shed light on production in other countries that weren't Cuban related, right? The Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, and Honduras. So then we got the opportunity to be exposed to all these wonderful cigars from other countries, became more popular. Nicaraguan probably being the most popular, right? Yeah, I saw that bee, dude. He just fucking, he buzzed your tower. Holy shit. He looked like he headbutted you.
He just fucking mavericked it from Top Gun.
Yeah, going no by shit. The God, be careful, Iceman.
I'm like that guy in the tower that almost spills his coffee everywhere.
But yeah, so I listened to that and it was a little bit controversial and I couldn't really disagree with it. But what do you think about, like, okay, restricted access to Cuban cigars? Do you think it's a big deal? It's a big deal in the news in terms of cigars right now, but is it really a big deal?
My personal opinion is this, Corey. And this is intellectual, smart, Paris Hilton talking, is that I don't think it pluses or minuses us as an industry in the United States. I feel like a majority of us have been accustomed to, especially after the embargo first started back in the day, that we grew to love other brands and manufacturers and farms that, in all honesty, most of us could say is better than a traditional Cuban.
Right.
So it's kind of like, if, you know, it's it really just boils down to this. We want what we can't have.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's been Cuban cigars for a long time. It's not to say that I put them on a platform as the best, because they have some issues, right? There, people always talk about the quality and production issues with Cuban cigars, which of course, you know, substandard quality and production leads you to a lot of draw issues, experience issues, and even impacts the flavor. So there's that challenge that's existed with Cuban cigars and a lot of facilities for quite some time. I kind of agree with you. I don't think it's insanely impactful. And I agree with you in the sense that you want what you can't have. So when someone tells you, no, you can't have the ice cream, you want the ice cream that much more.
Yeah.
But I've never really, I've smoked a lot of Cuban cigars and there's some that I really, really enjoy. But then there's also a ton of Dominican cigars I enjoy, and a ton of Honduran cigars that I enjoy, and a ton of Nicaraguan cigars that I enjoy. So to not have that kind of access to them, even if part of this embargo restricts other countries from selling cigars into the U.S., maybe they crack down on that a little bit more, I'm not going to be all that upset about it. I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, well, this fucking doom and gloom, here goes the cigar industry taking a fucking shit dive. It's going to be like, yeah, no, we're just going to get more of the good stuff that we know of, that we have access to in the U.S.
And I feel like it's good for some brands that we can't get Cubans again. Think about how many brands that talk about, we have cigars that are better than like traditional Cubans.
Or ones that literally create tobacco to emulate Cuban cigars.
Right.
There's a ton of that.
Right.
Like, even down to, like, the construction, right? Triple cap construction. That happens frequently where someone actually calls out, this is Cuban-esque. Like, we see that, like, term used all the time.
Like Aganorsa. Think about that.
Yeah. That probably the most notable.
So it's like, for them, it's kind of like a plus. Because
yeah, kind of.
They're not going to have to compete with traditional Cubans.
And I also wonder, like, how many people are going to Cuba from the U.S. and actually returning with, like, I wonder how many cigars are actually coming, let's say in a 365 days, in a year's time, how many cigars are actually being transported back from Cuba by Americans into the United States? Like, I would love to know what that number is. Yeah, legally, like before this embargo, like when Barack Obama said, yeah, you can do it up to 100 cigars at $100 value. How many are actually crossing back into the U.S. from South American countries and Cuban countries? And here's the other thing. I brought some back from Europe with me. I mean, the last time I went over, when I was in the Netherlands, they sell tons of Cuban cigars. I brought back Cuban cigars with me. So, like, I'm curious about, like, restrictions across the board. You know, what do you have in terms of online sales and so on and so forth? I just don't know how negatively impactful it can be, other than just kind of creating a little bit of strain for people who are Cuban dick riders. Are going to be like, God fucking damn it. But it's like, is it really going to impact us that much? I'd find that answer to probably not really.
And most people I've met, and maybe this is like a narrow-minded perspective on my part, but most people that I know that are casual smokers have never even had a Cuban cigar to begin with.
Yeah, and if they do, they don't know what they're smoking. Like, they don't understand what it is. And they're not seeking it out necessarily either.
They've heard
Or they probably smoked a fake.
Yeah, they've heard of it. They're curious about it, but they've never actually gotten them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I would agree with that. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and put my stamp on. Not a big deal. NBD, bro.
Yeah.
NBD. We do have a cigar review today. The cigar review that we have today, and the cigar, the reason why I thought it was appropriate to pick, and I told you this yesterday when we were talking, is that, you know, I post a picture, and I do it every Tuesday. Just five cigars, and some of them are themed, some of them are random. This one was themed. It was cigars that I've been smoking and really enjoying a lot recently. And I always put it out there to people, like, which one would you smoke first? I'm always curious about, I'm actually really genuinely curious about people's answers, because I like to see where people's mindset is in terms of the things that they've smoked, what they're curious about, and so on. And it was like, out of all the comments on the post, 90% of them were Plasencia Almafuerte, hands down. Like, that's what I'm going to gravitate towards. So I thought it was appropriate in this particular week doing the cigar review, let's break down the Plasencia Almafuerte, which is like one of the only Plasencias we haven't done. Yeah, so that's what we did.
True. What I like about the Almafuerte is like the backstory on it. You know?
Right. I heard it's a good one.
I'm always intrigued by brands that have cool backstories. And what I thought was pretty crazy and cool and a little bit edgy, a little bit hard, you know, hardcore, is that.
You're making me hard talking about it.
The Almafuerte is a black banded cigar with a little bit of gold on it. And when you look into the history of it, it was actually created to represent the owner's like favorite Spanish rock band. And like, I didn't know this, but like, what's so cool about it is that it was inspired by this one song by Almafuerte called Malvinas Argentinas. And it's so interesting. I just want you to hear a snippet of it to get a feel for how cool of a cigar this is. So enjoy it.
It's like the Spanish version of like Rammstein and Journey.
It really together. is. All I'm saying is that this cigar is fucking hardcore, bro.
Yeah, it definitely is hardcore.
You know?
And I believe it was probably, as far as I remember, one of the first Plasencias that I ever saw on the shelves. I think it was the first one to make its way on the shelves.
Yeah, it's because it's hardcore.
Maybe,
bro.
Besides the original. But yeah, like this is, I mean, ironically, I can't believe it's taken us this long to talk about this cigar, because I've smoked it so much over a period of like years, and we just haven't broke it down. We did this, so catch the Cosecha 146. We've done Alma de Campo, which I've reviewed. I haven't posted it yet. We did the Alma del Fuego. I've smoked everything in their lineup, but we just never talked about this cigar. So I am actually excited to break this one down, because I think it really is a long time coming. So before we get into the breakdown of the cigar, Chris, how do we actually break these down?
And I kind of want to sing it inspired by like Alma Fuerte. But I don't necessarily know if I got the syllables set up for it in the words. Fuck it. I'm not doing it. I can't do it.
Regular version's fine.
I don't have a backtrack.
No one's putting any pressure on you.
It's so weird singing without music. Do you know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah. That's normal.
I'm sorry, everyone. Each cigar review is broken down into three main categories: construction, burn, and flavor. To throw in a little extra kicker, we see if the cigar is worth the price for a possible bonus or deduction. And then finally, we average out our individual reviews, giving you guys our total and final recommendation. I wish that was like the intro to it, like the song. Yeah.
Could be. So what's interesting about this cigar is that it's not actually interesting at all. This is a Nicaraguan Puro. Plain and simple. We smoked this cigar in the Toro 6.25x54. Now, here's the striking part about Plasencia cigars. We've said this before. This particular cigar comes at an MSRP price, which you will pay at retail. You'll pay it at brick and mortars right around the $20 mark. You may get it a little less, but that is about average for this particular Vitola and this blend of cigar. Now, I've said this to people before. I've had people come to me and ask me, I want to smoke Plasencias, but they're too expensive. What should I smoke? And I was like, you should probably smoke a bunch of brands they contract for, because you're getting a Plasencia cigar, you're getting all the good without the elevated price point. And there's a lot of those examples out there. Plasencia has been fucking making cigars for over 100 years. They've been around forever. They contract manufacture with a ton of fucking brands, a ton, some of the biggest that you've ever heard of. That being said, in the recent years, they decided to make their own brand of cigars, which is a very smart move on their part, but they do come at an elevated price point. Again, $20 for this particular Vitola. So now what we're going to find out is it worth the price paid?
Yeah.
So let's begin. Chris, construction of the cigar, what'd you think?
For the price of admission, it's a great fucking looking show, my friend. You know? So rigid, so hardcore. It's such a long show, you know? Cigar has a lot of black marbling in it. It's a real dark, thick, rigid cigar, you know, with a little bit of toothiness to it. You know, it's grainy, like sandpaper, hardcore, abrasive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Thought the cigar construction wise is beautiful. It's got a nice black band, a little bit of gold on it. When you look at the price point of $20, it looks $20. You see what I'm saying?
I feel you.
You're not going to a show at like Bogart's, you know? It's like going to a fucking giant amphitheater when you get this cigar.
Yeah.
This is pro level. And it looks it. I thought the construction was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
I agree with you. I mean, this is a cigar for me that always stands out on shelves. I think it's probably why I gravitated towards it to begin with anyway, because I went, what is that? Now I am a sucker for gold. So anything interlaced with gold in terms of branding, I'm all about it, which isn't uncommon in the cigar industry, but this one is that black and gold. Black and gold go together so well, as your hat would indicate. It's just a wonderful fucking combination. One of the things I've always noticed about these cigars, especially as they're kind of late, like layered in a box, they just look flawless. Like the character of the cigar is just perfect. And every, honestly, outside of the Almafuerte, named the Amadeo Fuego, the Cosecha 146, the Amadeo Campo, they're all flawlessly fucking made. And I'd actually been holding on to the sample that I smoked for quite some time. And it just maintained that rigid feel, very dense. I mean, the cigars are fucking heavy. I mean, it's already a 6 1/4 by 54. So it's a big cigar, but they're heavy. They feel like little bricks. And I love that because I know there's a lot of good tobacco in there. So this cigar for me, wonderfully constructed, pretty damn near flawless. It's superb. And I've always said Plasencia really sets the bar.
One of the things we joked about yesterday when we were reviewing it was it's like so rigid and so big. It could ostensibly be used as a weapon. It could ostensibly be used as a billy club.
Yeah, you know those Panasonic workbooks that like construction people use, the tough books? You can like throw them off a roof? That's this cigar. If I drop a Plasencia cigar, I'm not worried about it getting damaged.
No.
Like it's meant to be tossed around.
I'm even willing to bet that if you drop this thing from a skyscraper and it hits someone in the head, it would kill them.
It's very possible.
I'm also convinced that if you drop it from that skyscraper and it hits the ground, the cigar's not going to break. The sidewalk's going to break.
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
You know?
So what did you think about the burn?
Like my teeth. I could have broken my teeth with it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Just smoking it or like getting clubbed in the face with it?
Like, I know there's a lot of people that bite their cigars when they smoke. Don't do that with this one. That's just asking to have no teeth.
Yeah, you're gonna break off those pearls.
When you go into your emergency dentist going, I need my front teeth replaced. And they go, what happened? And you're like, bit my cigar too hard.
You never like to see it.
You never want to see that. The burn, man. I'll say this. Still an exceptional show. Got a medium gray ash. Took like 1 to 2 puffs to get some great smoke production. For it being as dense as it is, it had the right amount of resistance on the draw. It didn't take a whole lot of effort to get good smoke gum like coming out of it. It burned really evenly, probably because that thick ass Nicaraguan wrapper, which I think is Jalapa or Jalapa or Jalalapa, you know,
Jalalapa.
Ha-da-ha-da-la-ba.
You got it.
The burn was equally as good. Now, for it being 6 1/4 by 54, did I have any outages? No. There was no encores. It wasn't this thing where it's done singing and playing on stage, and they walk off, and you're like, what the fuck happened? And then you got to, like, coax it to come back out, right? None of that. They went a straight 2-hour show, no interruptions, nothing. It was a great fucking show on Burn, bro.
Nice. Mine was pretty good. I would say it was adequate.
Oh, geez.
The issue I had with mine, and you know what? It didn't, it's not like this particular thing caused any corrections, but it just burnt so wonky. Didn't have a lot of consistency to it, but luckily it just kind of self-corrected over a long period of time. So I didn't really have to touch anything up other than there was a point of which when I removed the band, the cigar just blew up. And it almost seemed like that over-humidification, right? Where like the cigar itself is stressing the band as soon as you peel it. It's kind of like a fucking fat motherfucker who just eats a ton of food and it's just right when they release their belt, their fucking belly explodes. You know, just like bleh. That's kind of what it was. So I had a bit of a blow up. It tore the wrapper and that caused some burn issues. So not only did it cause some touch ups, but it kind of had to like cut off a little piece of the cigar, which is annoying. I can't really chalk it up to bad construction though, because they've been holding on to these for so long. Although they're very, I mean, they're maintained super well. You know this as well as I do because you called it out yesterday. You go, wow, it really smells like heavy cedar. And I was like, because it's in my best humidor. I mean, it's the one that maintains its fucking self all the time. It's insanely consistent. And that's where it's been kept. So it's hard to tell what the real issue was, but there was a wrapper split once I took that band off. And then the challenges began. They were fairly short-lived, but it caused me to do a little bit of surgery. So otherwise, other than that, the cigar burnt great. I thought the draw on the cigar was superb. For me, it were like, as you would say, is a 1-2 puffer. And I really enjoyed just the ease of smoking that cigar. It's one of those experiences, again, that you don't have to think about a lot. It just plays so much into the mood of smoking. And the lack of challenges is something that I think you and I would both agree. Minus all the other components, if you don't have a lot of challenges in the burn, it's usually a pretty good experience.
Yeah, for sure.
So arguably the most important part of what we review and how we break these down, Chris, what did you think about the flavor of this cigar? And I will preface in saying that the collective audience, the people who have smoked the cigar, always say this cigar is one of the most outstanding flavor cigars I've ever had. Did you get a similar experience?
Sure. I'll give you my 2 cents. As a critic reviewing a band after their show, lots of tangy and bitterness straight off the get-go. Medium spice. Very, very earthy. Very earthy. It's probably its most notable flavor throughout the entire smoking experience is the earthiness that you get from it. A lot of people might say you chalked it up to woody notes or cedar notes, which obviously yours was in cedar, so I can totally get that. It's like smoking a good pork butt. You know, you're going to get that smokiness in it. That said, really earthy. What I thought was interesting about it is that I would say for a majority, I didn't notice any huge change-ups in it. But on a heavy draw, like a heavy, cool draw, like I'm setting it down for a few minutes and I come back and I take a real heavy hit, I get so much more saltiness out of it, which I think is that bitterness, and a good amount of spice with it. And that's what I liked about it the most, is that particular flavor profile on it. Does it smooth out a little bit in the halfway point? A little bit. Not much, though. I felt like the cigar had a very consistently earthy flavor for a majority of it, if not all of the cigar. And I never found myself getting bored with it either, even with it being kind of one-note-ish, so to speak. I thought the flavor was great. It was honestly right up my alley. And I feel like most people that have smoked or even decided to buy a $20 cigar probably kind of know what they're getting into it. Or getting in, you know, into when they buy it. And I don't know, man, if you've had any other Placencias, this is probably one of the stronger Placencias that they make in terms of like spiciness and tanginess. I thought it was a great flavor.
I do agree with you in the fact that it seemed very, like to me, it was very earthy. I thought what I liked is like the spice to me was a little subdued, which is great in a Nicaraguan Puro. To me, not only was it very aromatic in the sense that it was very floral, but it also had a lot of good, wonderful herbal taste to it as well. And I told you yesterday, and I think the analogy that I used is I felt like the handicapped kid in the secret garden wheeling myself through a fucking plantation of fucking flowers, like a greenhouse full of flowers, just taking it all in. It was wonderful in terms of aromatics. What I really actually enjoyed about the cigar was on the retrohale when it becomes very woody. There's something about a retrohale that gives me a lot of that woodiness that I really enjoy. I say from a flavor profile perspective, that's probably my favorite, and that gives you just that. To me, at about the halfway point, it starts to smooth out, becomes a lot more consistently creamy. So a lot of those flavors, the impactful flavors that you get up front, kind of tame off a bit, and then it levels itself out. Which I like. I agree with you. It's not a multi-dimensional cigar. It's very static in terms of flavor. So what you get up front is mostly what you get. Not a lot of change-ups through the majority of the cigar. Maybe some subtle change-ups, but not anything too drastic, like where it's not changing the flavor profile so much as to where you take note of it, right? It may just be one of those things where it elevates, it kind of the saturation gets turned up, or it kind of tames out a bit. But for the majority, everything kind of remains the same in terms of the flavor. Again, not incredibly varied, which I think I enjoyed as much as you did. I did notice in the final third, you get like a little bit of that dark fruitiness, which only adds to the complexity and the balance of the cigar. To me, it's a great way to finish a cigar. Oftentimes, you're finishing a cigar, you're smoking, and it becomes unbearably harsh. And sometimes it just becomes too subdued where it's like, it's not even worth smoking anymore, right? There's no crescendo. It's such a decrescendo and so sharp that you're like, now I'm bored. I want to put it down. That wasn't this cigar. It actually kind of elevates a little bit and something changes towards the end, which keeps you interested in smoking the cigar all the way down to where it becomes a finger burner. It's one of the things I like about this cigar, especially in a 6.25x54. It's a big cigar, not a ton of change-ups, but it kind of keeps you just wanting more. I could definitely smoke this cigar in a larger Vitola and be completely happy with it. And that's another thing that I think should be recognized about this cigar. It's great in every Vitola. We happen to smoke in this. I've smoked in every Vitola, and they're all fucking incredible.
I think you're kind of underselling it, bro. Because like every time I looked over at you, like you looked like this. Every single time.
Yeah, that was me. That was
you. The entire time you were smoking it.
That was me. That's me in the garden.
That's you in the garden, man.
So here's the real question about this particular cigar. Again, mentioning that it comes in at roughly a $20 MSRP, and again, there's certain retailers where you are going to pay that much for this cigar. Is it worth the price of admission? I don't think either of us are not going to argue that this is a bad cigar. It's a good cigar. I think just in the way that we've articulated our experience together, it's a good cigar. But is it worth $20? Think about some of the other cigars you can get for $20. Does this stand with those cigars credibly?
Yeah. In all honesty, there's so many cigars that exceed the $10 price point that are comparably just as good, if not better. And I know it's Plasencia. I get it. A lot of it makes a lot of sensia in a lot of ways. But I really struggle with a $20 price point for a Toro. For a Nicaraguan Puro, I'm not saying it's not good materials. I'm not saying it looks flashy. I'm not saying I had a subpar experience. But I struggle with $20, and I will always scrutinize the $20 cigar to the utmost level.
Right.
My opinion, it's a great cigar. It's worth every bit of 12, maybe even 15. But it ain't worth 20, in my opinion. Ain't worth 20.
I'm with you. I have a hard time paying $20 for the cigar, and guess what? I've never paid $20 for this cigar. No, I paid $20 for the cigar one time, maybe twice, but one that I remember. Typically, I buy this cigar. There's certain places I'll buy it online, which I can get it for much less. Typically, around the $10 range for the cigar per stick.
Yeah,
that makes it fucking worth it, right? Because I have six of them in my humidor, so I obviously like them. But to pay full retail for them is something that I'm really not willing to do, because I do agree with you. I'm going to scrutinize something that's $20, and I think about other cigars that are $20. And is any cigar really worth $20? I don't know. I've had a lot of $20 cigars, and one's elevated beyond that in terms of price. But like I've always said, there's a sense of diminishing returns, right? And this cigar is a great cigar. But I am challenged by the idea of paying $20 for one hour and a half, 2 hour smoking experience. It's tough for me to compute in my own brain. So I did give it a deduction for the price point variance, as it sounds like you did as well. So then that would bring us to the conclusion, given the fact that both of us think that it's overvalued in terms of price. What did you give the cigar as far as a recommendation?
Mine came in at a highly recommended cigar. It's a great cigar, man.
Yeah.
It's just the price point is questionable.
Yeah.
I think some people say it's worth 20 because they feel like it's one of those celebratory smokes that they're not going to smoke all the time, you know?
Right.
But as like a, I think about just the economic value of it in comparison to a casual smoker, $20 is a lot, but it's a great cigar.
Yeah.
Hands down. So mine comes in at a highly recommended cigar.
Mine does as well. So I put mine in as a highly recommended, even with the deduction from a price point perspective. I do agree with you in terms of like this would be really good around the $12, $15 price range. If you can get them online for less, then it's, to me, it's a huge, if you can get these 12 or under a piece, it's a really good cigar because not only is it a large cigar and I think appropriate in the Vitolas, I think the cigar from a blending perspective is amazing in large Vitolas. So you get a wonderful smoking experience. And this took us roughly 2 hours to smoke, right?
Yeah.
Get a wonderful smoking experience for an extended period of time. You can get these at sub $12. I think you're getting a fucking amazing cigar. But tack on $8 to that and say it's $20 for the cigar, I'm a little challenged by the price point. But it is a fucking fantastic cigar. The flavors of this cigar are unreal good, in my opinion. It's one that I enjoy smoking every single time I smoke it. Actually, anything from Plasencia, I get excited to smoke. I've got plenty of them in my humidor, and there's a reason for that. Great fucking cigar, great tobacco, great family to support. Just a little bit of an elevated price point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go. Two scores, highly recommended. I think it's very appropriate for this cigar. And it was finally, it almost feels like a weight off my shoulders to get the Almo. Or the Alma Fuerte finally reviewed. I feel like that was the last big one we needed to do from Plasencia, of course, before they release anything else. It kind of feels good.
Yeah.
Now I just got to get the Alma de Campo. I got to get that review done.
Wait to hear the backstory on that one.
Yeah, it's a crazy one. It'll get you. all right, that was good. It's fun talking about stupid Cuban shit too. Fuck Cuba. Conspiracy theory. It's just because they're communist. Trump hates China. Cuba and China are both communist. That's why we can't have Cuban cigars. It's coming out and saying it. All right, let's conclude this. Let's wrap it up. Buttercup. What do we got? Reviews released this week? None. You were supposed to put one out. You didn't, so you failed once again.
I'm putting it out.
So no reviews this week. There's plenty of news out though. So there was a couple product releases. El Artista, actually, ironically enough, Plasencia released a box press version of the Alma de Campo, which was just announced yesterday. There's some other cigars that are being released. I think Protocol has the new Jane Doe 2.0, which will be released as well. So you can check all the details out. Cigar news. Also, Drew Estate, I think, just put out a couple different. There's like an in-store exclusive, and there's something else, a Hawaii exclusive that they put out there as well. But you can check all those. All the information out on those particular cigars, you can visit our website, www.hotticketweekly.com. Check out our reviews as well. We've got videos up, the video of the recent podcast that we did. I would recommend watching it because there's an intensity in both of our faces as we're going through the conversation. I think warrants actually visual representation. So you can watch that on our website. You can watch it on YouTube as well. Cigar Podcast is also available on what? Fucking iTunes, which is not even iTunes anymore. What is it? Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. I just got us signed up to be on Amazon Music. So we'll be available on Amazon Music, hopefully in the next few days once that is authorized. So you pretty much find our podcast anywhere. So check that out. Just Google that shit. I said that last week. Just fucking Google it. Don't ask me fucking questions. Just Google it. You'll figure it out. All right. That concludes episode 167. We'll be back at you next week with episode 168. See you, everyone. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. Let me tell you how you can get a hold of us. You can get a hold of myself at the Hot Ticket Pod on Instagram. You can get a hold of Chris at Hot Ticket Chris on Instagram as well. You can find this podcast. It is available all over the place. You can find it on
Apple Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. And you can find the podcast available on video on YouTube. Look up The Hot Ticket Weekly on YouTube, and you can watch all the fun happen before your eyes. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode. And as always, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes if you could. And check out our show sponsor, My Cigar Pack, at www.mycigarpack.com. Again, thanks for listening. We'll be back at you next week.